Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching, focusing on being salt and light in the world, was recorded at our Summer Family Bible Conference and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You've got to get to where you can see and perceive things by your heart. And these disciples in Luke did not perceive Jesus, not because he looked different, not because his hair color was different, not because his eyes were different, not because he was bigger or shorter or wider, but it was because they were used to relating to him only in the physical, and now he was spiritual and he had to be spiritually discerned. And because of it, they missed him just exactly the same way that they missed him when he was here in his physical body on this earth, and they didn't realize who it was that was on the inside of him. They took him for granted. And so the story goes on that he walked with them and he began to rebuke them. They told him about all this, and then he said in verse 25, this is Luke 24:25, "Then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." In other words, he took the word of God. And this is how you get your spiritual eyes opened, is through the word of God. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The way you get into the spirit realm, into God's spirit realm. Now, you can get into a demonic spirit realm by sitting in a lotus position and going om and doing things like that. And you can get into the demonic realm a number of ways. But the way you get into God's spiritual realm is through the word of God. "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit." So Jesus took the word and began to open up their eyes to who he was and began to speak unto them. And it says in verse 28, "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened." For those of you that were here this morning, this is exactly what happened to Gehazi in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, when Elisha prayed that the Lord would open his eyes, and all of a sudden he saw into the spirit realm. And there were horses and chariots of fire surrounding them on the mountains. Those horses and chariots of fire didn't just come. They had been there. He just couldn't perceive them because he was only looking with his physical eyes. But when the eyes of his heart were opened up and he could see into the spiritual realm, there were angels surrounding them. They had been there the whole time. His eyes were opened up and they saw into the spirit realm. This says that their eyes were open and they knew him. This isn't talking about their physical eyes. Their physical eyes had been open the entire time. They had been walking 7 miles. They didn't walk 7 miles with their eyes closed. Their eyes had been open. Their physical eyes had been open. This is talking about when the eyes of their heart, when all of a sudden they begin to perceive by faith, they knew him. And the moment they knew him and saw him, he disappeared. Did you know that the moment you can walk by faith, you don't need sight? Faith is so far superior to sight. Man, that's awesome. And yet this is not exciting to most people. Most people think, oh man, I don't want to just have to take it on faith. Oh God, give me a goosebump. Oh God, give me three prophecies and something to confirm it. Oh God, I'm putting this fleece out and I want it to be wet on the fleece and dry on the ground. We want some physical proof. We want something that is going to tell our senses that this stuff is working. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. When the eyes of your heart are open and you can see by faith, you can actually reach a place to where it doesn't matter so much whether you ever see it. And of course, the moment you get to that place, you'll actually see it with your physical eyes quicker, because faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Faith is what produces this victory. And the moment you get to where you are walking by faith, you'll actually experience and see the supernatural power of God in your physical realm more readily. But you have to reach a place to where you don't just try and use faith in order to get something in the physical. You get to where you're walking by faith, to where you know Him by faith. The moment they knew Him, He vanished out of their sight. And let me show you a couple of other post-resurrection appearances. Look over in the 20th chapter of the book of John. This is on the first day after Jesus' resurrection, or the first day of Jesus' resurrection. It says in verse 11, John 20:11, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one on the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus." Here again is Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene had had, seven demons cast out of her. And she followed Jesus and cooked food and ministered unto him of her substance. So she was with those 11 apostles and she traveled with Jesus. So she knew Jesus very well, and yet she didn't recognize him. And in verse 15 it says, "Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She supposing him to have been the gardener, said unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said unto her, "Mary." And she turned herself and said unto him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Master." Here Jesus was talking to Mary, and Mary didn't recognize him until he said her name. And I'm sure that struck some kind of a chord. And even though she was looking at him and couldn't perceive by her sight that this was Jesus, she knew in her heart that this was Jesus. And she submitted to it. Here's another example of the same thing in chapter 21. And Peter went fishing and took a bunch of the apostles with him. They're listed in verse 2. In verse 4 it says, "And when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." Now you could reason this away. Again, people are always looking for an explanation of how things could just happen naturally. Every post-resurrection of Jesus, it's obvious that the disciples had to perceive him by faith. They couldn't perceive him with just their physical senses. And yet there's this tendency to say, no, that couldn't be the way it's got to be. Maybe it's just because he was so far away from them and they didn't recognize him. Well, that's possible on verse 4. But if you go down to verse 12, he had commanded the disciples. He asked them, says, "Do you have any meat?" And they said, "No, we've been fishing all night long and hadn't caught anything." And he said, "Cast your net on the other side and you'll catch fish." This is exactly what Jesus had done when he first called them into the ministry in Luke chapter 5. This wasn't the first time it had happened. So they cast the net on the other side, and sure enough, every fish in the Sea of Galilee tried to get into that net. And they brought it to land. And when they had this miraculous catch of fish, John looked at Peter and said, "It's the Master." And so he put his coat around him and he threw himself in the water and swam to the shore. And he drew all of this net up there. It says in verse 11, "Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken." Verse 12, "Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord?" Now this is really interesting. Why would they even put that in there? Why would they even say that none of the disciples dare ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. You know why that's in there? Because in the natural they didn't know it was the Lord. They wanted to ask him. With just their physical senses, they were looking at him face to face. They knew it was the Lord because of the miraculous catch of fish. They knew this was the Lord, the resurrected Lord. And yet looking at him, they couldn't perceive it with their five senses. They had to know it by their heart. And so that's the reason it wrote that none of them would dare ask him who it was, because they knew it was the Lord. That's amazing to me. And if you go through every resurrection appearance of Jesus, you find the exact same thing. People could look at him straight in the face and not know that it was God. They had to know it by their spirit. I don't know if I'm getting that point across to you or not, but people think, oh, wouldn't it have been wonderful to have been a disciple of Jesus and to see him walk on the water and feed the multitude and raise Lazarus from the dead and preach the Sermon on the Mount. If I would have been one of Jesus' disciples, if I'd have physically seen, if I'd have felt that, if I'd have been there, I'd have been a believer. Actually, it would have been much, much, much harder to believe on Jesus if you would have been one of his physical disciples, because you would have been so in touch with him physically in your five senses that it would have been hard for you to perceive him and know him spirit to spirit. You know who it is that God used to write half of the New Testament? Not one of the disciples that spent 3.5 years with him. It was a man who, according to Scripture, there wasn't any physical contact. He might have seen him. He might have known him after the flesh at one time. But he went into the desert, and for 3.5 years, he came to know Jesus through the Scripture, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And Paul was the one who had the greatest revelation of who Jesus really was. And Paul didn't know him in the flesh. He knew him in the Spirit. Knowing Jesus in the flesh would have been a hindrance to knowing him in the Spirit. It's just the opposite. And you know, it's the same thing today. If you were to really have all these miraculous events that people are praying for, if God appeared to you every morning and talked to you in a visible form, and if there was some ball of light that appeared, and if you heard an audible voice, did you know it would hinder you from knowing God? Because you'd get to where you tend to rely upon the physical, natural things instead of knowing him by the Spirit. And Jesus has to be spiritually discerned.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to make a difference by being salt and light in the world. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado. It's available in an 8-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request series RM230 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The 8th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the 8th teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Now, you won't be able to call us by telephone today because we've given our employees the day off due to the holiday. But remember, you can go to the website even on holidays, and you can order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Or you can write us at P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80934. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I am so excited over the things that God has shown me. I'm trying to get this out to as many people as possible. Our programs now reach over 60 million households in the United States and over 160 million households outside of the United States. Over 200 million households around the world are now getting this program, and yet there are millions of households to go. I'm reaching as far as I possibly can, but I need you. If you are bearing witness, if this program is a blessing to you, and if you would like to see other people receive these truths, I ask you to please become a partner with us. Please call and join with us today.